Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. It's a good Friday, although it's not the official good Friday. It's a quiet Friday, but I've got a great word for you today. Actually, more prophetic revelation. God's been talking to me all week long about what is happening in the spirit right now as God moves the true eagles of God into the tree of life. And who is the tree of life? Have you ever thought about that? Who's the tree of life? Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And so for all of you who are we're struggling with a lot of warfare and we're feeling the influx of warfare and trying to figure out, you know, what's been happening with the warriors of God and what all this warfare is about, it's really about God moving you out from underneath the tree of good and evil, out from underneath the law of sin and death, into the tree of life, into the law of life through Christ Jesus. And so God is doing a new thing right now. He's actually moving us into a prophetic strategic position as he gets us ready for revival. That's what's happening. And the enemy never thought we would ever achieve this through God. He never thought this would happen. And so he's freaking out right now. He's actually starting to freak out a little bit, quite a bit. And we're going to get into that dialogue here in a second, so just stick with me. But today, 50 Minute Rev title is called Prophetic Revelation, The True Eagles of God, Access and Entry into the Tree of Life, Thank God, and Separation from the Tree of Sin and Death. I've been talking to you a little bit about that. Hey, Yvonne, good afternoon. And I actually just got off our team calls and was giving our team this message. But you know, I thought I was going to do a different message for today, and because God's been continuing to talk and he continues to give me insight about all this stuff, and it's fascinating. It's really, really fascinating to, hey, good afternoon, guys. But it's fascinating to me to see where God has taken the body of Christ right now, because I'd never dreamed in my lifetime of ever stepping into this place. But God did say, and I want to say this even through Kurt Landry Ministries, we talked about the four people groups, and actually God is going to explain the other three people groups in more detail today too. So I didn't expect that. And so there's a lot of prophetic insight into this to tell you what's going on in the natural and by the spirit. And the good news is that God's plan can't be stopped. So let's jump into the message and we'll get you on with your weekend. But I'm Dr. Missy Hood. Welcome to the 15 Minute Rev. If you're new to the show, I do this every Monday and Friday. I did not do a Compass Wednesday. I did not have any information. I don't release anything unless God shows me something. It's a waste of your time, and I don't like to just talk. So, so there was no Compass. You didn't miss anything. So if you're here for the Rev, welcome. So anyhow, what's witchcraft hitting you with today? What's witchcraft hitting you with today? And I can say this for myself. Just wanting to be left alone, being isolated, kind of just wanting to do my own thing. I'm tired of the warfare, probably, if this makes any sense to some of you. Hey, James. And so you're just tired. That's a generality for most intercessors right now and frontrunners. But also not wanting to go forward. Just kind of wanting to sit back and think, you know, this is good enough. I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm happy with life. But no, don't be happy with life. This is not as good as it gets. You want to keep moving forward. You want to keep moving forward all the way into the tree of life, because in the tree of life is where the power is at. That's a major power position. That's where the glory covers you. And so that's where the Lord is leading the nation right now. And actually, it's going to be fascinating today, because God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. He reigns. Hey, Christy, he reigns on the just and the unjust alike. So he's also raining down on non-believers. Check this conversation out. So you're getting hit with not wanting to go forward, and you're getting hit with resistance. What is the resistance? I'm going to challenge every single one of you. Pardon me. And we're going to open up Ezekiel's Wheel, by the way. I think it's going to be this Wednesday night, to the public. Or if you want to come get deliverance, we're going to open it up to you. And it's going to be, what are we going to call it? It's going to be called, let me see, did I put my thing down? It's going to be called Help Setting the Captives Free. We're going to help get you free. So if you're not on my Facebook page, or if you don't have a link or have a way to get the link, email me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. We're going to be taking you through deliverance from fear, from your deepest fears. Let me tell you why. Because the resistance to your moving into the tree of life, the deep part of God's heart. Hello, we've got a 12-gate outer court. You don't want to get stuck in the outer courts. That's where the gnashing of teeth is at. That's where the demonic warfare is at. You want to move on out of that into the seven inner court gates, which is the heart of God, the deep place of God's love. That's the tree of life. That's where you start moving into the promised land blessings and the deep love of God. That's where you start feeling the glory on your life. Okay? So, and everybody thinks they're going to be getting into this place. A lot of people may even be listening and think, well, that's me. That's me. Yeah, no, maybe not. Keep listening. Because he's been taking us through a whole lot of deliverance. And if you haven't been diligent about getting deliverance, that's the key to getting in. But you know, God's all merciful too. I'm going to stress this. And I'm amazed at God's mercy. Because as a truth person, I'm pro-truth. And I am merciful, actually. I'm very merciful and compassionate. But I'm very all about right over might. I'm about people doing what's right and what God says is right. But you have to have truth and mercy. You have to have a balance. And so I'm amazed at how God is coming back. You know how it says that God goes after that one sheep. And remember how Kurt Landry said that there were four people groups. There were four people groups, but only one was going in. And I thought, boy, that's harsh. That's really harsh. But the Lord didn't tell me the rest of the conversation until the last couple of days. And he said, I'm going back for the sheep that want to come higher, that got scared before and got stuck. I'm going back for him, Missy. Let me tell you how he's going to do it. This is interesting. So you're getting hit with resistance. The resistance are words from the enemy or the occult trying to lock you into this dimension, into your fears. So the resistance is actually your own personal deep fears about what may lie in the future or whatever. Identify it, you label it, but you need to be able to identify them, and you need to bring them on Wednesday as we open this up to you. If you're interested, again, email me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. If you're interested in attending, we'd love to have you. We'll take you through deliverance, but God is going to be taking off the resistance of fear on your life, because fear is the enemy's faith, believe it or not. Fear is the enemy's faith. When you get into fear about anything, you're locking into the enemy's type of faith, and what you fear will come upon you. That's a spiritual law. So you've got to deal with the fear in order to come into perfected love, because perfected love casts out all fear. So that's what's happening as you try to move and transition out from underneath the tree of good and evil into the tree of life. So the Lord said right now, there's a very special group of Davids coming onto the scene, and he calls them prodigies. Prodigies. Do you think you're a prodigy? I think some of you are. Let me tell you why. The definition of a prodigy is a highly talented child or youth, an extraordinary, marvelous, unusual in accomplishment or deed, something extraordinary, inexplicable. What makes it extraordinary? What makes you extraordinary? Because if you're a front runner, I would like to challenge you with the idea, if you're given a gift of love, especially deep love, God gave some the gift of joy, others the gift of faith, but very, very few he gave the gift of love. Hey, Cynthia, hey, can you paste the link, please, over into the Ezekiel's Will page? You mind, Cynthia? Thank you so much. But he's differentiating right now the giftings. And the reason why God gave frontrunners the gifting of love, deep love, by the way, it's a double portion, extraordinary. He also highly equipped them with weapons of war. He equipped our vessels with weapons of war. And from birth, from deep birth, thank you so much. But he equipped you for this time. He's lifting you up for such a time as this. And he wasn't going to send you into the battle alone. Hello, God is love. So what he did when he gave you the gift of himself from birth, you still had to go through the salvation experience and getting spirit filled. But he equipped you with his own vessel because he knew this time was coming. He knew this time was coming. So for those of you who are called to be front runners, he knew this season would be your season through him. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So he's lifted you up through himself, and he's qualifying some of you who are chosen. Many are chosen, but few are qualified. Many are chosen. He wants you to do that. But he wants you to, you have to be qualified in order to step into the tree of life, or he has to spew you out. He can't be Ricinus. He's a holy God. Hey, man. Good afternoon, Serge. So, some of you are prodigies. You've been highly equipped with weapons of war. And let me give you this. This is, I've always heard bad things about omens. Omens are considered demonic. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not necessarily true. But let me give you the definition of an omen. Something, an occurrence or a phenomenon or something to portend a future event. It's a sign or a wonder to precede a future event. What are we expecting to come in the future? Revival. Revival. So he's sending the frontrunners out. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. He's sending you to be used by his spirit to make a way where there is no way. You run ahead of the pack through the weapons of Christ in your life. And then he can bring every single person up in the body, whether they're immature or not, into their higher level of freedom. And so it's no, God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all again. And so you're not only doing this for yourself while you're running your race through Christ, you're doing this, believe it or not, for your cloud of witnesses as well, for people in your bloodline, your forefathers, people who have gone on before you. And that's why they root you on. They're like, come on, Serge. Come on, Christy. Come on, James. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And they root you on because when God uses your vessel to burst through, you're bursting your whole bloodline through at whatever level they've completed in heaven while they're there. Everybody's going up. Everybody's going up. So they're really rooting for you. You've been lifted up for such a time as this, Joseph. Those with the double portion. So let's move into the message and what's going on in the natural. I know some of our peeps have already heard this, but just enjoy the message today because there's always new revelation coming forward as we bring it forward. But what's going on in the natural? Well, as of 3 days ago, God has begun to move us out from underneath the law, the tree of good and evil, out from underneath the law of sin and death, and underneath the law of life through Christ Jesus and underneath the tree of life. What does that look like? What does that feel like? You should be actually experiencing deeper levels of love right now. If you've moved in, you should be experiencing the capacity to love at deeper levels. And what's so phenomenally cool about this is that we can't take our next breath without God. You enter into this earth through God's breath, and you enter out of it. You're taken out of it because of his breath being taken out of your vessel. And for those of you who know Jesus, what he showed me this last week is when the believers go home, the reason Jesus is in you too, not just for salvation purposes, but also to escort you through this journey called life. But then when he takes you home, when you finish your race, he takes his spirit breath back out of your vessel with you. He takes it himself and he walks you home himself with his angels. That's what he told me. That's what he showed me. And so you can't take your next breath without God. And so it's really extraordinary in our walks as front runners. And we start learning about who we are and whose we are and how to do this thing called Christianity and how to do life with Christ, how to do life with other people, imperfect vessels. And let me tell you, just because you're doing life with imperfect vessels doesn't mean there's not accountability. See, God's calling accountability onto the stage right now, onto the world stage, and he's telling people, you're going to either do this my way or you're going to hit the highway. That's what he's saying. So if you've been feeling God's love deepen within your vessel and you've sensed affirming or strengthening up around you, chances are God has started to move you in. He started to move you in. And the more you deal with your fears, deep fears, hey, good afternoon, everybody, the more Christ can move you into deeper love. Deep calls into deep. Oh, that just came out of my spirit. Deep calls into deep, though. He does. He calls you out deeper. And the deeper you go, the deeper he has to go in you to make room for himself, to pull out all those deep places that the enemy has strategically targeted you with to hinder you from going deep in Christ. Remember, perfect love cast out all perfected deep fear. So it sounds like, to me, this is a setup. Sounds like a setup. Yes, it sounds like a setup. A setup for breakthrough into a powerful place for you to dwell. And God has begun moving us out from underneath the enemy structures of control and manipulation and into God's structure of love and trust, which means we're moving into God's end game. I've been looking for the end game. I've been looking for the end game for our nation. I've been looking for the end game and waiting for this mess to come to an end and for us to step into this new place, because we've heard about the transfer of wealth. We've heard about all these things coming to pass. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, how's that going to happen, God? How's that going to happen? And he's like, just wait, I'll show you. It's stepping. Lord's saying, trust the process. He's telling me the whole time, trust the process. We live by a season of seed. We're going to get into that here in a second, too. You live by a season of seed. What is the seed? The seed is when God sends in prophet after prophet after prophet. We're going to get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm getting excited. But he sent in the 17th letter of the alphabet. You follow that one, if you follow that one. And he told the world, he was telling the whole world, believers and unbelievers alike, what he was going to do. God's no respecter of man. What he does for one, he does for all. He's announcing to the whole world, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it through this avenue, whether you agree with it or not. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. That's what he's going to do. And then he starts sending in the true prophets of God, and they start announcing what's happening. So he's confirming his word. God's confirming his word. He's sending it in through secular resources, and he's sending it in through biblical resources. Oh, my goodness. He's here. So God's showing us what he's going to do. So what God does as he moves us into a new season, he activates the law of seed plus time, which is the testing period that it takes before we get the harvest. That was wild. Let me get that off. Sorry. But we live by a season of seed. That's with word coming in. And then we enter into the testing time where the word is tested. Okay, I don't care if it's a secular word or a prophetic word. Because God can use a jackass if he wants to speak to his people. He did it for Balaam. He spoke through his ass. That sounded crass. I'm so sorry. That sounded really bad. All right, so take it as it is. Let's move forward. So move beyond that. But he did. He spoke through an animal to speak to this false prophet. He was going off and cursing people. But he can speak through any means he wants to if he wants to speak to a people group. And I'm going to get into why he did that here in a second. Why God did that. How that sounded really bad. Welcome. So sorry. Oh, forgive me. And you know what? God's got a funny sense of humor too. So let's move on. So what's the end game? Let's go back. What's the end game? And I want to really entreat every one of you. If you didn't catch that Steve Schultz, Robin Bullock, Roger Stone video, you need to go catch it. You need to go catch it. It's on Elijah Streams. Go catch it. It speaks as a portion of the end game. I know, right? I know, right? Thank you. Okay. But it speaks about part of the end game and how all this stuff came to pass. Ooh, we're going to go here, I guess. So we're in a place right now where God is removing demonic portals, where the enemy was trying to bring in the Antichrist spirit early by opening up portals on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal levels. What you've done in the year 2022 would have, that's a portal. We live by the season of seed plus time equals harvest, but also we live in times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, and cycles of the spirit. A year is a cycle. A year is a cycle. That's a portal. So the enemy has certain portals, certain times of certain seasons that he can try to bring in the Antichrist spirit. Well, I knew he was trying to bring in the Antichrist spirit too early. And I said, God, revival hasn't come. The glory, second glory hasn't come. You know, what's up with all this? And I started getting into, I'm not going to lie, I got into worry. I got into worry a little bit. He said, hey, you need to come check yourself back over at this door. Dial that back a little bit, Missy. Come back over here. And so I was like, okay. So sorry, repent. And I was like, you know, how's that going to happen, God? How's that going to happen? And the Lord started talking to me about how, you know, we make our plan, but God has his own. And if we understand and trust the process of how God works, hello, front runner, he gave you a word. It's the same process for transformation for any heart on the planet. He gives us a word, and it's actually an assignment, a prayer assignment. start learning to decree a thing, decree a thing, decree a thing. And it's not hard. This isn't a hard process. It's only hard for the religious people, because religious people never get it. They're too impatient. They're too arrogant. They think they know everything, or they don't know to do the squat. But if you have mustard seed size faith in a childlike heart, you just trust God. You just trust God, because love always trusts. I mean, the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit, for one, but we just take our Father at His word. So God sends in, and He gives us a prayer assignment. He gives us a prophetic word through a prophet or through a revelatory word, rhema word, kairos word, whatever. And we take it to the bank. We take God at His word, and we start praying over that word. That's our assignment. Okay, He gave the word over the nation. He started giving it secularly. He sent in the prophets to give it biblically. And so that was our assignment. But everybody sat around and thought everybody else was going to do it. But they thought the military was going to do it. They thought Trump was going to do it. They thought all these people were going to do it. And God's like, no, I want you to do it. I want my people who are called by my name to humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways so I can heal their land. I can heal their land. And so now we're learning how to take those words and enter into the process of faith. And so everybody was giving up, and everybody was like, oh, we're down. We're done. We're done for as a nation. Blah, 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 blah. And God's like, we're not done. We're so far from not done, it's not even funny. We're not even remotely done. You got a long time from being done. You got a good life ahead of you. Good plan. God says, I know the plans that I've got for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a setup. So it was a setup. To give you hope in a future, excuse me. But it was a setup, not. I did it again. He said hope in a, I was supposed to say future, but I said a setup. Hope in a setup. He gave you a setup. It's a setup for your faith. It's a setup for the glory to come in. It's a setup to show the people of this world who's God and who's not. It's a setup. And so what's the end game again? So the enemy was opening up demonic portals. First one, the biggie, which is why we see the black hats racing around trying to do all this crazy stuff. Why are they in such a hurry, by the way? I've wondered that. And I thought they were in a hurry, but I couldn't figure out the end game. And the next time that they would have this opportunity of meeting this portal is in 2030, by the way. So, hello, front runner. Hello, gatekeeper. You're a gatekeeper if you're a front runner. You're called to man the gates. You're called to man the portals. You're called to be a watchman on the wall to keep every unclean thing out of this atmosphere. Because the enemy's trying to use it to insert demonic things into our atmosphere. But what is God giving you rule and reign over? He's giving you rule and reign. If you're a true son and daughter of Issachar, a true son and daughter of the king, you've been given dominion power over the beasts of the field and over the birds of the air. He's given you authority. So it's all up to you as to how much you believe. And if you know who you are in Christ, you got to know who you are and whose you are. And you've got to be seated beside Him in heavenly places. You can't do it. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hello, we're moving into a time right now where God is moving people over into His faith. His faith, not our faith. My faith didn't do jack. Your faith hasn't done jack. But when you start on that prayer assignment through Christ, and He starts moving you up His mountain in faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, decreeing a thing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as you decree a thing, your faith rises up to match His own, and His super covers your natural, where He begins praying through you now. The Spirit of God is rising up on your vessel. Hello, Romans 3:22. And you're not operating in your faith anymore. You're operating in the faith of Jesus Christ. What a better gift. I mean, really. And that's really where God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what He's saying. That's how the mountains are moved. It's nothing that we do. It's when He adds a super to our natural that the mountains start to move. So this is the new place we're at as a nation. It's a new place we're at as the body. For those of you who've moved out from underneath the tree of sin and death, over into, and you're moving into the tree of life in Christ Jesus, underneath the law of life in Christ Jesus. So the Lord is shutting all these evil portals right now. And he's also, the Lord had shown me that the enemy put portals through the earth, fire, water, and air kingdoms within all seven mountains. D.C. is the head of the nation. Florida and California are the feet of the nation. Kansas City is the heart of the nation. Texas is the womb of the nation. We've got portals at the north, south, east, and west gates of the nation. Shut them. Block them. Block them all. And then man them. Guard over them. And hopefully, if we've researched correctly, that's what's going on. That's your job. That's why the enemy doesn't want people to hear this message. I couldn't give a... Don't care. Let's go. So, God's like, game on. That's what God's saying right now. Game on, big dog. Game on. So God's showing the nation who's God and who's not. And for those who are moving over into the new, because some of the Davids have already moved over there spiritually, we're seeing God show up and he's pulling his linchpin out. That's what God showed me. He's pulling his linchpin out to shut all these portals, which will shut down all the power structures to where truth and justice can finally show up in our courts, in our law enforcement, where people aren't influenced by all these demons. Hello, in 2000 is when all this stuff started being released. And I remember I was out mowing our grass on a riding lawnmower, pardon me, and I felt this rush of wind come by me. Lord, strike that with Hebrews 1:8 in Jesus' name. Strike it down. Hold on 1 second. Strike that thing out of my spirit realm right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I release holy angels. 2 Kings 6:16. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, I was riding a lawnmower and I felt this wind rush by me and I knew it wasn't of God. And I said, wow, that wasn't good. What was that? Because somebody in my region had opened up a freaking demonic portal. And I've been studying all this stuff for 25 years now and trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. When I heard that the other day, it was like click, 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 and I saw everything in its proper perspective. That's the way God uses my gifts. I see the fastest way through Christ to get from point A to point Z in the least amount of time, least amount of efforts, least amount of monies. And it served its purpose very well all my life. And so that's what he's doing. That's what the enemy's done over the body. So the enemy's trying to open up all these demonic portals. And God's entreating you to go and shut them. Shut them. Man the wall, watchmen. And do our job. He's calling us to do our jobs. And so as we start doing this now, the power structures are going to be pulled down to where society will be readied for revival. They'll be ready for revival. And at least it will give people, it'll remove a lot of the demonic activity out of the atmosphere that have been released through the earth, fire, air, and water parts of the witchcraft Satanistic kingdom. You're removing and commanding all those demons to leave. Open up the silver channel. Command them to go to the pits of hell with Luke 10:19, as well as ancestral demons and any LHS. That's what I'm going to call that. I'm not going to explain that. Go look at Ron Horner stuff on LHSs. And then shut the silver channel behind you with Revelations 3:7, Exodus 15:6, and Judges 3:24. And you will start feeling a clearing in your atmospheres. Okay? Now, God has seasons. God is a tree. You're a tree. Okay. So he's the tree of life. Let's go back there. He's the vine. We're the branches. So if God is a tree, every tree weathers through seasons. Summer, it's spring, fall, spring, summer. Okay. Every tree has to weather seasons. We have to go through storms. We have to go through testings. We have to. Jesus went through testings, and if he can do it, we can too. And so when we learn how to weather seasons and we learn how to hold on to assignments, we learn how to hold on to promises and words, we learn how to pass a test. We learn how to pass a test. Thank you, Lord. I need to get on with this work. I'm telling you a whole lot of stuff today. So the linchpin that's being cinched in this season is the power structures of the enemy and how they set them up. They really did set up a lot of grids. They set up a lot of grids through chemtrails. Did you hear about that? They set up grids in the sky created because grids are created by metals, by the way. If you don't know anything, grids, ley lines, trade routes are routes that demons travel on. Well, they did it in the sky part of the kingdom. So they covered the air part of the kingdom. They did it in the earth part of the kingdom. They did it in the water part of the kingdom. And they're doing it in the fire part of their kingdom. Well, God's got those seasons as well. God's saying, it's not your kingdom that's going to come. It's mine. Trust me, Lord says, it's mine. Mine's going to come. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the linchpin then is God is pulling out their structures where it's all going to collapse now. It's all fixing to come tumbling down. And if this is very, very high level intercession I'm talking about with you. So if you haven't tracked with us for a while, then I would encourage you to go back and look at some other videos here on Ezekiel's Will. I'm going to announce again, we're having a deliverance this Wednesday night. The enemy does not want people knowing about this ministry because of the freedom that they get. But you have to understand, too, if you come near a holy God, the whole purpose of Ezekiel's Will is to usher you into the heart of God, into the glory. He's here to help you walk out your story. Okay? That's what he's teaching us how to do right now. He's teaching us through testings and through trials. And a lot of you Josephs have gone through so many testings and trials, but nobody wants to deal with their heart condition. And the enemy's gotten so entrenched into the church that people are acting like hell. There's no difference between the church and society anymore. I'll be so brazen as to say that. I saw it happening 30 years ago. And God started me on this trajectory to teach me how to step into this calling that he's got me doing today. But he's raising up a set of standard bearers, a set of Davids, a group of Davids who would run after him with a heart that was pure and true. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And see, just because you're with yourself 24/7, just because you think you're okay, doesn't mean you're necessarily okay. It doesn't necessarily mean your heart meets God's standard in order for you to enter into the tree of life. It doesn't mean that. And God says a lot of people, some of them have big platforms. A lot of people are saying, how dare you? Why am I at this place in my walk if God didn't love me? Well, let me just shoot straight with you on that. What if you knew how to pray? What if you knew what to say? What if you were charismatic and you knew how to manipulate people? What if, Balaam? What if? Not all of them are. But there are quite a few that judgment's fixing to hit. It's already started. They're calling them out. But they're calling us, they're calling people out that are not Davids. They're calling people out that don't have a heart for the king. And you know what's interesting is that they want to say that right is wrong and wrong is right. People want what they want. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And they're in the critical eye, the people with a religious critical eye, that's usually them. That's what it is. It's people stuck underneath the apparatus of religion where they're so stuck in their muck that they don't know how to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And they get angry at people like my vessel or like others like me who come out and tell you the truth. And I'm not a perfect person. Trust me. I wrote a book about it. You can go read it. I have zero to hide. Zero. Don't care. Don't care. I'm not ashamed. I don't live in your shame. You're not going to keep me underneath your apparatus of religion and all of its shame and all of your need for superiority and to feel like you're superior over other people if you're stuck there because you haven't maybe gone down that road. Well, maybe God allowed me to help people like myself. Did it ever dawn on you? Just saying. So, okay, let's go there. So, the linchpin has been pulled. Let's get back on track. The linchpin has been pulled. And I believe it was all part of the process of our faith through decreeing a thing to where God could pull us up into a place of faith to where he could manifest on our vessels and change a nation. He wanted to change a nation. So through our decrees made in through Jesus Christ within us, the king is getting it done. Wow, but you got to know who you are and whose you are. So God is all about having his family back. You know what the Lord told me this last week? I thought it was really interesting because I've never had God tell me this before. But he said, Missy, I am so tired of my body always trying to run to me to say, God, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? I want to be the greatest in the kingdom. Let me be. Let me. And then they get into the spirit of competition with each other. And they get into insecurity and they start trying to sabotage each other and acting like hell behind the scenes, thinking that God's not taking notice. And Lord says, how about I'm the greatest in the kingdom? How about you try that on for size? The Lord says, I'm the greatest in the kingdom. Get over yourself and let me be who I am and you be who I made you to be. And quit competing with your brothers and your sisters. Quit trying to act like hell behind the scenes, acting like I'm not taking notice, because you're really going to reap what you've sown. And it's all coming to pass now. It's all coming into fruition for those people who have done that if you don't repent. And the Lord's saying, how about you just be my family? How about you just learn to come together in unity? Because if you come together in unity, I'm there and I'll heal your nation. That's what he's saying. How about you learn to love again and help come together in unity and move this thing back into my heart again? How about that? How about you get outside of yourself and thinking that life's all about you? Because life's certainly not all about you. This brings us into Judges 8:18 through 9:21, and it talks about leaders knowing how to handle people. Woo! And a lot of you are saying, ooh, Dr. Missy, you don't know how to handle people. Trust me, I do. Trust me in this, I do. And I mean that with the utmost of respect. I'm a military man's daughter. My father was a colonel, full bird, and a full colonel, excuse me, not a bird, he was a full colonel. I'm 6 months shy, actually, of being a general. And I've learned a lot about respect and honor and nobility, true nobility. Not a person's version of it, sloppy agape, pretending through plastic Christianity, watching VeggieTales, acting like they're 15 when they really should be acting their age at 50. And there's nothing wrong with VeggieTales for the children who need it, because it's a wonderful tool about integrity. But how about we start really stepping up into true nobility and we start finding out what pureness really, really is? Because there are some things that I've seen a long time ago that should not have been. And not like I'm a tell-all be-all, because I definitely have a checkered past. Again, I'm not ashamed of it. I've walked through life and that's been my walk. That was my calling. God knew it would happen before it happened. But God wants us to learn how to come together. And if we have aught with people, I've challenged my team about it this week. If you have aught with somebody, I'm going to say, go talk to them. Learn to talk things out before the end of the day passes. And quit seething in your bitterness and in your offense and leaving churches and getting ticked off at leaders when they weren't the ones involved in the issue. Go learn to work things out with people. Do it in your families. Do it at church especially. That's the best place of all. I wasn't placed here to counsel you. I'm placed here to lead you. There are others like myself. But God is having us enter in now as leaders. There are leaders being raised up that are going to have to deal with these three people groups that were left behind that Kurt Landry was talking about. Now we're getting into that topic. That's where this is going. So, for you Davids, for you leaders that are Davids, true Davids, not fake Davids. Don't go label yourself a David if you're underneath the apparatus of religion. You'll insult God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go hide under some juniper tree somewhere. I don't care. Go act like you're the only prophet left, like most of you do. I love you, but that's how I feel. So, but if you know how to handle people, this is my belief on this. I believe that if you're a godly leader, you're honest, you're blunt, you are not always blunt, you are truthful, that's the key, you're truthful with everybody around you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But more importantly, you honor the Lord and you honor accountability. You hold people accountable. You're not afraid of what it's going to cost your pocketbook, if I can speak. You're not afraid of what it's going to cost your bottom line. You're not afraid of what it's going to cost you in members. You don't give a rip. If it costs you your relationship with Christ, then you've lost it all anyway. And if you built it yourself, you've built it on the sand. So you're going to lose it anyway. So only the Lord can build a house. And all those that build theirs alone labor in vain. And sometimes God will test an entire house to see how they built, What did the leader build on? Did he build the congregation that God built for him, with him? Or did he do it himself by appeasing people? Did they do it themselves? It's a he-she thing. It's not just men doing this. But it's, how did you build? The same is true for our personal houses. How did you build your walk with Christ? Did you build it your way? Or did you listen to the truth along the way? And did you make course adjustments while you were walking? That's accountability. But these are the leaders God is raising up. And so God says these true leaders, these new leaders, are going to have to deal with critical hearts, or those who felt left out, are stuck underneath the apparatus of religion. Those people that were so sure that they were so right to have stayed away from the new move of God that he's showing us right now. They were so sure they were right. Yet everything around them was going to hell in a handbasket and not working. So now they're forced to do something new, because now they're getting, oh, is that right? I don't know if I'm right, God. Because they're always double-minded. They've always been double-minded. And so unless you get out of your double-mindedness and trust somebody else outside of yourself, you got to give up control. So you're going to have to try something you've never done before. And the Lord's saying, how about try humility? Try humility. And he says that the people who already have humility aren't going to have a hard time, because they've already tried it, and they're seeing progress. They're starting to see a little bit of progress. So they're really struggling with fears. That's all it really is. And so what God is doing is he's bringing in accountability voices now and saying, hey, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is of God. This is of not. He's separating out the tares from the wheat. And he's trying to give you a pathway that's perfect, that really works to bring you out from underneath the death of the enemy and where he meant for you to stay stuck, and into the tree of life where you can be protected. That's what God's ultimate goal was for you all along. So that's the leader part. Then your first people group is dealing with the proud. This is the first of the three people groups that Kurt Landry was talking about. You're dealing with the proud. Some will come on into the glory, believe it or not. They'll give up and they'll say, hey, this isn't working for me, Lord. While others will stay out in the outer courts with a gnashing of teeth. But the Lord is saying in this season, let them stay out there. Don't go after them. I'll go after them. If they listen to me, then they listen to me. But until they humble themselves or admit their flaws, they have no place coming near a holy God. The Lord says, I won't accept them. And I'll just, if they try to come near me, says the Lord, I'll just have to spew them out for not honoring my ways. So let them stay out there. He's telling you leaders that. So in this next season, we're going to see people really get angry that they got left behind or feeling left behind by God. But God is giving us the wisdom beforehand so that we have answers when we run into them, or you sheep who might run into them. Because a soft answer turns away wrath. So he's telling you beforehand, be prepared. Don't react to them in their anger, in their bitterness. Respond. You know it's coming. So Gideon had to deal with this. Gideon was a leader. And people in his time had no love for him as a leader. They didn't like him. They didn't even like his God. And actually, their lack of love cost them dearly. A lack of love will cost you dearly in this season. Refusing to come higher into love will cost you mightily in this season. And you know, when we are so afraid of acknowledging our shortcomings before God and man, it can cost us everything. Because God says, greater love hath no man than the one who lays his life down for a friend. God laid down his only begotten son for us. He had his son die for us. And he's saying, all I'm asking you to do is lay down your life for me so I can help lift you up through my vessel, through my spirit, to take you into a place of safety. That's all he's asking. So that's the first people group. The second people group are dealing with the cowardly. Those that are demanding to stay stuck in their fear. They refuse to look at their own heart condition. They refuse to get free from the apparatus of religion and the fear of being wrong. They don't even want to try to do anything God's way to allow him to change them. Because fear is a powerful demon. By the way, it's a demon. Just like hate is a demon. Racism is a demon. Bitterness is a demon. Gosh, there's a million. And the Lord says, if you love deeply, if you have a gift of love, the same level that you love at, if you've got that double portion of love, is the same level you can hate at, is the same level you can get bitter at, is the same level you can get caught into unforgiveness at. is the same level you can get stuck in fear at. So it's hindered many a heart from achieving God's best. That's the second group. The third people group, you're going to be dealing with the covetousness of people. You're going to be dealing with coveting people, where people begin to see you blessed for your obedience, but they don't want to do what you've done to get what you've got. It's not your problem. It's not your leader's problems, you leaders out there. It's not your problem. Because you can't step out and walk somebody else's walk for them. You can only do what God's given you to do right in front of you. You can say, here, this is the way, walk you in it. But most of these people want the glory without the story. And it leads to idolatry and apostasy, and God's not going to do it. He's like, no, I'll spew them out. So we're going to see people in this season underneath the covetous group who self-appoint themselves, and it's been happening through the Balaam's prophets. They self-appoint themselves as this or that when God hasn't any more appointed or anointed them to do that, without realizing that only God can call a vessel to leadership or service. So like Gideon, who was appointed by God, we're going to have to stand up and fight against those who think themselves to be like God. Because a lot of them do. They try to play your God every day. When they operate in, most of them operate in the apparatus of religion. Or underneath as a false prophet, as a Balaam's prophet, as a Jezebel. And what they do is they play everybody else's God, and they go around and they put their little bony fingers on and all their little critical eyes on everybody else, when they need to take that nasty little bony finger and point it right back at them nasty little selves and look at the mirror and do an inventory check. Because you can bet your butt God sure is. He's looking right at you. He's got his finger on you. You're doing that. And if you're watching, he's been watching you for a while. And how you curse people behind the scenes and how you manipulate his word for evil. Where says, I can't be where sin is, and if I didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. How foolish are you? You try to come into my courts and you try to manipulate my courts as though I'm going to listen to you. Lord says, did you know I could strike you dead if you did that? And some of you might experience that if you keep touching the ark or trying to touch the ark, the closer God comes. Be careful. This is a harsh thing to say, but I'm just speaking what I feel like he's saying. Because I feel like the times need it. And the problem that most people have is that it's coming out of a woman's vessel. I'm not your usual sit down and shut up type of personality. I do believe to honor men in my life. I honored my father. I honor my holy father. But if nobody's willing to stand up and say something, God will go to the next vessel that is. And so this is what you got. And it doesn't make me wrong for being truthful. So this is where we're at. God is calling people out right now for plagiarizing the word, because they're running around like a bunch of little antichrist. And this actually happened in King David's family, where his own family tried to overthrow him without realizing that there was a price to be paid for true leadership. A true leader, if you know anything about leadership, they have to stay quiet. They have to pick their battles. You can't engage everybody. You'd drive yourself crazy if you did. And by the way, not everybody's worth the engagement. It's like, why do I want to add fuel to your fire of your need for self-promotion or your need for attention in the wrong way? Because you'll surely get attention if you keep going down that road and putting your mouth on other people, because God will have somebody else put their mouth on you. You reap what you sow. So a true leader sometimes has to keep quiet when they're being persecuted like David did by Saul. And I know that it gets old. I know the fight gets old, but it's even older for God as he grows weary of the dishonor. And it also sets those people or those mouth gates up for destruction who do it. So check this out. This is the next part of the message. Oh, we're way over. Okay, I've got about 8 minutes to get this through to you. Luke 23:44 through 24:12. And it's a new place that you people are stepping into right now. A lot of the sheep are the Josephs, where as the witchcraft is removed out of the atmosphere, you're going to have people come back into their right minds. You're going to have them being given a chance by the Lord to choose this day whom they're going to serve. That's why God's removing and he's shutting off their demonic portals. because he wants you to choose fairly. He's a fair God. And some people will choose the same as they've always chosen. They'll choose death. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. But this is the place where we actually meet the Lord. And I believe it's a place where God moves us out from underneath the tree of good and evil, which I've studied before. And it's a place for us to choose with honesty where you want to be. You want to be a weed or you want to be a tare? For people who want to come underneath the tree of life through the law of Jesus Christ and love, you're going to come up into the power position. A lot of you already are. And actually, what's interesting about this is because your testing really has proven who a lot of you are. Where you chose to believe God even when you didn't know where he was taking you. You've never been this way before. And God is so good about his confirming process. He told you at the very beginning, you've never been this way before. We'd never been this way. We didn't know where it was going. All we knew to do was to trust a holy God because we knew he was good. The God I serve is good. The God I serve believes in happy endings. And so I really, really believe that I believed it all along. I only had one hiccup. That's the truth. Where God said, what? Check yourself back into position. You get yourself back into the truth, Missy Hood. I really just had one on the back porch one night. I had a little hiccup. And God surely shook me. But the entire time, I just thought, you know what, God, you're right. You know, that's really stupid of me. How did I do that? Because you get into your unresolved fears and things like that, and you feel like, oh my God, where's this going? Oh my God, oh, and you let your mind run away with you with vain imaginations. That's not good. So you have to check yourself. But this is a place now, going back, where God gave us an assignment at the very beginning. He gave it to us secularly. He told us through the 17th letter of the alphabet. He told us through the true prophets. This is what I'm going to do. He told us exactly what was going to happen, when and where. And it's happened just like clockwork if you haven't been paying attention. And so I'm just thinking, okay, when is the end game? Where is the end game for this whole thing? Well, now we've got the end game. We've got the linchpin of the enemy being pulled out now. Thank God. And the same thing happened in Jesus' day, where Jesus died on a cross and he died between two thieves. Did you ever hear that message? One of them chose the law of sin and death and the other chose the law of life in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that message? The same process, trust the process, is happening today. And then Jesus was resurrected and breakthrough came. Oh, hang on. Sorry about that. Had a hiccup there. So, you trust the process. And so, just like God gave you a message where he was walking in their presence, see, what that stands for in your atmosphere is that God will send in prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to tell you the same thing and confirming it over and over and over and over again. Because you're like, oh my God, that really is going to happen for me. All right, I'll start praying for that. Right on. That's God, usually. And then it's up to you to pray it in afterwards, because then you're going to enter into, you see, by season of seed plus time equals harvest, America. So we've entered in, we've got the seed planted through the prophetic word, and then we've been given the assignment. Then you enter into the testing of time. We were given a portion of time to believe God for the very best, to believe the best of God. And I don't know about your God, but my God is Jesus Christ, and he is the God of happy endings. And so I started decreeing a thing. Through my time testing, every testing has an ending date, but every seed plus time equals harvest. That's per Kenneth Copeland, by the way. Those are the fathers of faith. That's where you learn that tool from. But it was to prepare us for this time, for this season, to know what America was supposed to do. So God told us exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. And then he prepared us to stand in the gap so that America could stand at this new crossroad and have people choose who they were going to serve to prepare them for revival. So that brings us to Psalms 99, 1 through 9. We're wrapping up at the top of the hour right now. We're about to finish up. If you're catching this, you might want to catch the replay. A lot of layered learning. Where God is talking in Psalms 99, 1 through 9, he's telling us who he is. He's telling us that he will always be holy. He doesn't care what you believe about him, but he will always be holy. Truth will always be absolute. You can't change that. You may believe another reality because your perception is warped. But perception is reality, whether it's warped or not, but truth will always be truth. You can't change who Christ is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So he was the one who created truth. He is. It's him. It's him. So God says in this new season, as people come back to him, they're going to do things his way. They're going to learn to get their hearts changed. They're going to raise their standards back up into the truth of who Christ says he is. Not your version of him, not your cheap version of him, not your sloppy agape, not your trying to make excuses for your hidden sin or the way you act like hell behind a computer and flip people the bird when you're driving. And I'm not saying, you know, people have flaws. Yeah, okay. But you know what I mean. Where you just stay in the same sin over and over and over and over again and asking, oh, please forgive me, God. You abuse the please forgive me statement, which shows your intention of your heart. Leaders, you do it too. You do it too. No one's excluded. Not even me. But God's saying, in this new season, I will always be holy. I've always been holy. And he's saying, you need to give me the honor that is due my holy name and fear my name. If you're going to step into this new place with me, because if you dare step into the tree of life and you start doing some of these old things that you've been doing, you will be judged. Mark my words, you will be judged. God will spew you out. So it's a new, narrower road, but it's a safer place to be because his glory is starting to cover many of you who've chosen to abide there. And you know, it's frightening to see how people live and speak or even act around a holy God without ever thinking that he won't hold them accountable. It's frightening to me. But what God is requiring us to do in this new season is to be noble and to be true to who we say we are. He wants our walks, I'm not saying this in like a generic can of green beans. I want you to hear my heart. He wants our walks to match our talk, lest we become hypocrites like the Pharisees. He's tired of the hypocrites that the religious apparatus of religion has raised up in the church where people aren't allowed to be authentic. They're not allowed to be. Now, don't get me wrong, because everybody's in transformation. Hear me out with that. We're all being transformed. Okay. So what does love do? Love covers, but you've forgotten the main thing that love does. Love holds people accountable. Accountability is the only way people change. If you brush the trash underneath the carpet, and that's the kind of leadership style you're operating in, you've already failed because you're not giving people anything to go on to show them the way of righteousness. You're going and giving them, allowing them to stay in man's ways. So now there's a course correction going on. And by the way, if God puts his finger on the spirit of religion that you so vehemently try to defend, he's doing it because he loves you. He wants you to get free. And a lot of you think you know everything. You've been given one little fraction of a little fivefold gifting. Hello, the gifts are God's. God poured out his spirit on all flesh. In the end times, he said he would do that. But that's what ignited the fivefold giftings on good and evil alike, because he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. So you get this one little fraction of power that you think is so powerful, and then you go abuse it, and you start looking at everybody else's life, and you start kind of dissect them and criticize them without looking at the crap in your own backyard. And God said, clean up your crap first. How about you pull the log out of your own eye first, and then go look at the speck in your brother's? And that's if I've called you to do it. Otherwise, mind your own business. How about pray for them? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? How about love them? Show them by example. Course correct in gentleness. A gentle word turns away wrath. I'm just speaking in all truth today because that's my calling. And people hate you when you tell them the truth. They hate you. How dare you do? And they puff up like a big puffer fish. I'm never coming back here again. Okay. All right. We'll get happy. You'll get glad just like you got mad. And you pulled that little needle in that little pepper. That's what you feel like sometimes. It's like, God, get over yourself, man. Life is not always about you. And by the way, I can only imagine what your atmosphere is like. If you're acting like that, you get puffed up and offended over nothing. And nobody can tell you the truth. So you think everybody else is the problem when you act like hell in your atmosphere and everybody hates being around you. So they walk on eggshells around you in church, at home, because they don't want to enrage you with your rage issues or your Abaddon demon. They don't want to offend you, or they don't want to be rejected by you, or they don't want to have you withhold love because you're going to take your, I won't bring my kids around if you don't let me have my way. They don't want to be manipulated by you, and you do it all the time. And God's like, I've had enough of that, Jezebel. He's, I'm fixing to boot your butt out of this house. And he goes, I'll boot you out. I'll spew you out. But says, it's time for change. It's time for you to clean up your act if you want to dwell near me. So with that, I'll leave you with that. Let me read the last one. I forgot to read you the last one. We got to wrap up. Don't leave yet. Proverbs 14, 9 through 10. Now, this is actually a wrapping up of everything. Where he says, fools mock at making amends for sin. God's just wrapping himself up here. He's wrapping up the message. But goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Do you understand? You know, some people like the message here. They like the message because it's refreshing and because people are sick and tired of people not speaking the truth. So when they finally hear someone speaking the truth, and I'm not trying to be anything to anyone. I'm just saying this. This is my heart's thoughts. But it is refreshing to me to be around truthful people because you always know where you stand with them. However, if you are around truthful people, you need to prepare yourself to hear the truth. Even if it's about your own heart, I have to. But if you're around a holy God who is all truth, you really need to be prepared to hear it. And if you really want to be transformed and you want to move into your blessings, you need to be willing to hear it. Because if you're not willing to hear it, then you don't have any right to bellyache and complain about why life hasn't gone well for you. God's tired of the belly aching and the complaining from a people group who have chosen to step and stay underneath something that's not even of him. You're the ones choosing to abide there. And God's saying, I chose you. I chose you before the foundations of the earth. And I'm asking you to come abide in me so I can abide in you. But you're choosing to stay stuck. So God says, I can't help you. I can't make you make choices. I've given you free will. So at some point, some of you are going to have to learn to trust him and to trust that he's got a great plan for you, lest you stay stuck in one of those three people groups. Please don't let that be you. So I hope you're encouraged today. I welcome you to the 15-Minute Rev. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you're just joining us, you need to go back and catch the replay. It's layered learning. I hope you enjoy what you hear. It's actually just talking about where we're at right now as a nation, what's going on. I think it's encouraging, actually, very, very encouraging to know the end game. We finally have an end game. We finally have an end game. I'm encouraged, which means this is all coming to an end pretty soon. Hallelujah. And guess what? You know what the best news about that is? Is God is all powerful. Even if the enemy hears this message, God still wins. We've read the end of the book, we win. And he always makes a way where there is no way. So if it's not the enemy's timing, there's no way under heaven that the Lord's going to let the enemy come in before his time. And so this is that season. Now, this is a time for revival. It's a time for the latter glory. If you've ever walked in the former glory, it was back in the 80s. Seriously. I really believe that. Because of how everybody loved the 80s. And I believe that was the former time. It's always in succession. And I didn't know this until recently, in close proximity with another move. And so I believe that's genuinely when it was. You can make fun of me. I don't know. But I do. I think that. So pray about it. I'll just encourage you to pray about it. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you go and have a great have yourself a great weekend. If I don't see you, I'll see you on Monday. I did not do the compass this week. I did not do it. I did not have a word. So if I don't have a word, I won't be showing up. You did not miss anything. Just continue following the next show. With that, have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you Monday on the 15-Minute Rev. I love you guys. Bye-bye.